much about.
Hi, fellow Halloweenies. Did I scarily dare you?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Halloween costumes are supposed to be scary. How's a Dalmatian scary?
They can bite you.
Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, they go right for the groin.
Where are the vampires and monsters and ghosts? Elmo, Aladdin, Jenny McCarthy? I don't even know what these things are.
Tulare County in California has passed a law barring sex offenders from decorating their homes and handing out candy to children on Halloween. Kids are a little bummed out because you know those guys have the best candy.
Beat it, weirdos. I don't do Halloween.
Certainly glad we all decided to celebrate Halloween. Last time I had this much fun, I was pinned down in a foxhole by the North Koreans.
And now...
give me some chocolate or I will cut you.
Our feature presentation.
That's the spirit of Halloween right there. Give me some chocolate or I'll cut
you. It works, too.
Yeah.
That's the beauty.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 30th of October.
I just picture Kevin, who, as we all know, loves chocolate more than air. I just picture him having a one for me, one for you policy when he's handing out candy at the door on Halloween.
And his kids come back. It's like, let me see the bag.
Yep. I got first dibs, kids. Yep. Sorry.
Let's wait until they fall asleep. Then they just take about 3/4 of it. They don't need all that candy.
It's not good for them.
Right.
I feel like it's probably Halloween at Kevin's house year-round in terms of the amount of chocolate in the house.
Oh, that's true.
I do eat a lot of chocolate.
So, hey, Beer Mug.
Yo.
A, unfortunately, still works here. But B, considers himself a baseball fan. Am I right, Muggs?
I am. Yeah.
So last night, Kevin, he turns off Game 7 of the World Series. It's a one-run differential. Game 7 of the World Series. He turns it off in the ninth inning.
Well, I'll tell you it's because he didn't want the Giants to win.
Thank you.
That's my guess because he's such a Dodger fan.
You're right.
He can't bear to watch the Giants win. However, it is weird that you turn it off. I mean, even
it's
though...
it's going to happen whether you're watching or not.
Even though that drives you crazy and you don't want to see him sell... you know, you can turn it off before they celebrate or whatever...
and you could
know.
Have been happy to see them celebrating in Kansas City and probably not enjoying it very much.
Wasn't there a moment at the end?
Yes. It was an unbelievable game. And I want to talk about it for just a second because there's a very funny piece of tape after the game that I want to play. But, yeah, there was a moment at the end, all right, Lisa, when it was 3-2 and it was a bottom of the ninth with two outs. And one of the Kansas City Royals hits one into center field. That is misplayed by the center fielder. It goes past him.
Dean, this is going to surprise you, but I watched the bottom of the ninth.
Really?
How could you not as a sports fan?
Because I was flipping back and forth between the Lakers. I go to the Lakers and go, oh. Go to baseball and go, pretty boring.
And go, my bad was the Lakers, by the way. I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, they just, it's
as bad as bad as the night before?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see
anyone
the final score because they were behind by, you know, 30.
Oh,
got it. So. All right. So so center fielder misplays the ball, and then the left fielder, who runs up as backup, he goes to the wall to get the ball, and he bobbles it. And now it's just going everywhere. And meanwhile, the runner, first, second, he's waved around. He's at third, so he's 90 feet away. The thing about baseball is that it takes one pitch to change the game. That batter who's up next could have, with one swing of the bat, won the game. A single would have tied the game, and now we're going into extra innings. So it was an unbelievably tense and amazing, amazing ninth inning that Muggs didn't see.
The outfield is going all Three Stooges.
Yes.
I don't understand that, but it was ridiculous. They were missing, like, easy plays, and the guy that was in left that you said was covering...
bobbled the ball, yeah.
Couldn't pick it up. It's a baseball.
Right. Couldn't pick it up.
Sitting right there. He couldn't pick it up.
And I wonder how much of that is just so much nerve. You know,
well, I imagine that's
so nervous because it's the World Series and it's Game 7. All you know is you need one more out.
But I don't watch baseball like you do. How often do two people make errors on
almost
the same
never.
Ball?
Yeah. Almost never.
It's crazy. Almost never.
I mean, it looked like the fix was in. It really did. And we don't have time here to talk about it. Maybe we'll talk about it with Jim Rome when we have him on the show later on today. But last night, Madison Bumgarner, who is the ace for the Giants, who pitched one game one, pitched a complete game shutout just this past Sunday to win game two. They brought him in just to see if they could get anything out of him last night because, you know, it's the last game of the season. You can use whoever you want. You don't have to rest anybody. And he ended up pitching five innings last night. One of the most astonishing performances ever. But I say all that to say this. So one of the perks of being the World Series MVP is you get the new car or truck after the game. That's right. What happens. And Chevrolet was the sponsor. And the guy that they selected to hand Madison Bumgarner the keys maybe wasn't prepared for the job. Here's Aaron Andrews bringing him in.
From Chevrolet, the regional zone manager, Rick Wilde.
Thanks.
All right, he's picture Rob Ford, okay?
Rob Ford.
Picture Rob Ford doing this presentation. I feel like they must have told him like 1 minute before that he was the guy. He's not the most confident in his product.
Madison, congratulations. As the official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award.
You hear how much he's breathing,
wow,
by the way?
Yes. Did he just sprint from across town?
He's super sweaty. He actually has index cards in his hands that he's trying to look down at to get the wording right, and that's not working very well for him.
Along with our dealers, we are also extremely honored to give back to this sport by supporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation. At Chevrolet, we have we have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's a truck.
In a van down by the river. Now, here's the best part of this executive from Chevrolet is trying to describe the upgrades in the dashboard of the new Chevy.
It combines class-winning and leading, technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar.
Technology and stuff. Right. This guy will never speak publicly again if he's not fired. Poor guy.
Sitting there on screen. To recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series, I proudly present to you very own set of keys to a brand new 2015 Chevy Colorado. Congratulations.
There you go. And he pulled the keys out of his pocket and he thought to himself, oh, thank God that's over.
It sounds like he came from like an all-night bender or something.
Yes,
like
he does.
He's really just wrecked.
It was awkward to say the least, but still entertaining.
Yeah. Well, welcome to my life. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
You shut up. You've done nothing but lie since you got here.
You mentioned Jim Rome. We have him on the program today.
That's right.
We have Daniel Pickett. You don't know the name, but you know the story, probably. It's the Toys R Us story where they had the Breaking Bad action figures. And a mom, I believe in Florida, started a petition, said that's not for kids. Toys R Us pulled it. So they had 9,000 signatures. This guy has 40,000 signatures to put those action figures back in Toys R Us.
Very interesting.
So we're going to talk to him and find out how
that works. I bet his theory is my theory, which is, hey, people that want to buy it can buy it that way.
Right.
People that don't have to.
Because you don't want to buy it doesn't mean that you get to tell everyone else they can't buy it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That drives us crazy. We have Rosa G on the program today.
Because.
Has a new Halloween song.
Yes.
Full-size candy.
Full-size candy. We have Alice and Jenny on the show talking about the TV show Mom.
We're not worthy.
We have Halloween songs. Mm-hmm. And we also have a little fellow by the name of Stan Lee talking about Kamikaze, which is this weekend.
Wow, that's a big deal.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin DeBeach Show at 5:53.
I need to tune that guitar. It sounds a little...
Is it pitchy dog?
It is pitchy dog.
Sounds a little first take to me, too, by the way. Hey, Rob is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Before I beat you with show, let me give you something. How about tickets to the K-Rock screening of Interstellar?
Yay!
This brand new movie stars Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway as your typical astronaut explorers. Don't they just look like science nerds, those two?
They sure do.
They make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations of human space travel and conquer the vast distances involved in an interstellar voyage. So they get to go where no man has gone before. Right through the wormhole.
Is that code?
Nope.
Some kind of
it's
code?
An actual thing.
All right.
If you'd like to go, we're having a screening on November the 5th at the TCL Chinese Theater. The movie is in theaters everywhere on November the 7th. However, you'll see it a couple days before everybody else. If you're one of the first five callers right now to 1-800-520-1067. Call now, first five callers. Get a pair of tickets to the K-Rock screening of Interstellar.
When you guys go to and buy a ticket and go in to see a Christopher Nolan movie, if you knew nothing about it, just if he made it, you're
yes,
in.
I would.
Yeah.
He's never made a bad movie, right?
No. No, I don't think he has.
I would.
He's great.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, Kevin. Got some bad news.
Uh-oh. What? Just for me?
Yep. Just for you. Apparently, Maggie Q has a new boyfriend.
But I called dibs.
I know. I remember you calling dibs. But
well, isn't that how it works?
Apparently, your dibs were denied. You were denied dibs.
Can't get denied dibs.
She is currently seeing her co-star from Stalker, Dylan McDermott.
She's a bitch.
Oh, that's not the case at all.
What does he have that I don't?
Looks, talents, charisma, charm.
Right.
Money.
But other than that?
They were seen getting cozy at a Santa Barbara restaurant over the weekend. How did we know they were romantic? Well, she was feeding him at the table. maybe you dodged a bullet, Kevin.
No, I want someone to feed me. Are you kidding?
you're about a few years away from that anyway. Don't worry about it. You will be in a chair with a bib on eating pudding, so it's not really a concern. It'll happen soon enough. But I don't think that's cute or sexy at all when one person's feeding the other one.
Yeah.
You poopsies. Yeah. Is it for you, poopsie? No, stop it. I can feed myself. I'm a grown-ass man.
Are you sure she
men
called him...
Men hate that.
Are you sure she called him poopsie?
Probably.
All right.
Have some of this, poopsie. No, stop it, you two. Cut it out. It's not sexy. It's not romantic. It's BS.
I bet they sat on the same side of the booth, too.
Yeah, they probably did, those bastards. Speaking of romance, some people, when they go through a breakup, hit the bottle, have a good cry, maybe a pint of Haagen-Dazs, just trying to deal with the inner turmoil and pain of a serious breakup.
Right.
Not our Kris Jenner. She's going straight to the bank with her new idea of pitching a reality show where she tries to find love again.
Oh, dear God.
See, because she's single now because she split up with Bruce Jenner. How about a reality show where I try to find true love and we follow me around on all my dates, and that's the new show for us.
She can't live without being on camera somehow.
There's nothing else, Lisa. No. There's no life there. It's just a series of photo ops and TV shows.
They would
now
just collapse.
Will you stop it with that?
If they turned the cameras off on her, she would just disappear.
Yeah.
Would you guys think Seacrest will bite on this one?
Yes. Sure he will. Trust me, this will happen.
They're his cash cow.
Unbelievable. You know, by the way, you know she's not upset about the breakup either.
Nor's
because
not.
She only cares about her.
And she's not looking for love either, by the way. It's
that's
just
right.
Going to be a series of photo ops for them to shoot her on various dates with various men.
And now she has the opportunity to get more celebrities in the orbit.
Exactly. And more attention on her and less on the kids, which she's always been angling for. It's a dream come true for her.
Now, is the only problem with her diabolical plan no one will want to date her?
Oh, trust me. There'll be a ton of people, men of all ages, who are desperate to get on television who would gladly sign up to be on Love with Kris or Kris in the Bed or
I hope Die Hard Kris
or
Tinder Kris.
Jenner in my ass. Here's my theory, though. We got to stock the pond. We need, like, O.J. Simpson. We got to get some serial killers in there. We need to, you know, make it interesting for us.
Ones that she hasn't dated already?
But throw one in. Throw one in the mix that,
I like it.
That she doesn't know. Maybe this guy is the guy with the duct tape and the zip ties, you know?
Okay. I'm guessing they're not going to go for that as TV.
That would be entertaining. Yeah. And you got to love Lindsay Lohan. Her work ethic is beyond question. Last week, she was on BBC's Jonathan Ross show. She is, of course, in England working on the play Speed the Plow in the West End. And she talked to Jonathan about her past.
That's a talk show?
Yes. Jonathan Ross is sort of like The Tonight Show.
Okay.
In England. And she was talking to him and said they addressed her spotty record.
Yeah.
Regarding her work ethic in the past, you know, not being late to sets, not coming out of her dressing room and that kind of stuff. And she pledged that she would never miss a performance of Speed the Plow while she was in the UK. That will never happen, she said. Yesterday, she canceled two of her Speed the Plow performances.
Now, wait, is it possible she was really just sick or something else?
Well, she said on Twitter she was down for the count. So sorry, everyone. I'm too ill to perform. Doctor wants me to rest. Won't make shows tonight, but please enjoy Speed the Plow. So
that was her version of I'll always have Rocktober at the fingertips.
I guess so.
Right?
Yes. And she, too, is still working with,
still employed,
with the professionals involved around her production.
Yeah.
It seems unfair, I think, somehow. Today's celebrity birthdays. Henry Winkler is 69 years old today. The Fonz is practically 70.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
He looks great.
He does look great.
It's ridiculous.
Kevin Pollak is 57. Gavin Rosdale of Bush is 49. Matthew Morrison, Mr. Shu on Glee. That show's still on the air, by the way.
It is?
That is on television.
No.
Glee is on television.
Is it, really?
I thought it was canceled.
No,
I
it's
thought like
on
5 years
television.
Ago that went away.
What?
That's on TV. It's on television.
Not even but Dave currently? Talks about it anymore.
It's on television.
Currently, I'm
yes.
Asking. I had no idea. I don't think that's true.
36 years old today. And Janelle Parrish of Pretty Little Liars is 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
9 o'clock this morning. Keep listening for your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. It is tonight. Hey, are we giving away, what time are we giving away tickets to, I wonder, today?
9 o'clock, and that's it. Last pair.
That's the last pair?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, well, the thing is, tonight, get your costume ready. $5,000 costume contest. Of course, it's at the Fonda with 30 Seconds to Mars. Speaking of Halloween, every year you see these stories about the controversial Halloween costumes. Well, Kevin, what is your policy? What do you think the policy should be for most people on what is fair game for a Halloween costume?
You know, that's such a difficult question because certain things hit people, you know, a lot harder than other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell. But, you know, the year after the Boston bombing,
right,
they had, somebody dressed up as a Boston bombing victim, you know.
Mm-hmm. Not cool.
And that particular one, I would guess, probably offended a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that somebody's going to be offended by anything that is at all controversial. But what should be done about it? Nothing, right? I mean, you
I
just have to let people.
So.
You just have to let people whatever their taste dictates. I guess is
they
what
are,
you do.
They're allowed to be offensive,
right?
Right. Some of the costumes this year that are being talked about a lot. TMZ did a story recently on somebody spotted with an Adrian Peterson costume. He's the Minnesota Vikings running back who was indicted for injuring a child, remember?
Yep.
And they had him in an Adrian Peterson jersey, and then he was carrying a baby doll and a switch. That was his costume.
Aww.
And I think that kind of takes you out of the fun of Halloween because there's nothing fun about child abuse.
No.
This year, there's tons of Ebola costumes. I have no problem with the sexy Ebola nurse, by the way. But apparently some people are like, hey, you know, we're still kind of in the middle of the epidemic. Like 5,000 people are dead from it. Is it really the type of thing we should be joking about? And, of course, there are going to be plenty of people who are going to capitalize on the bad year that the Malaysia Airlines company has had this year.
Can you imagine Bean going as the pilot? He would be crazy. What happened to my plane?
The one that seems to be getting the most blowback, though, as you'll hear in this piece from Yahoo Sports, is people who are dressing up as Ray Rice of the Baltimore Ravens. Listen up.
Couples actually dressing up as former Ravens player Ray Rice, along with his wife, who was accused of being the victim of his beating. What do you think of these costumes? She has apparently a black eye, a kid's walking around with a doll, a beaten-up doll. They've even painted their faces black.
The fall of Western civilization, the epitome of the worst taste possible.
Well, do you think
foul,
do you,
penalty.
But isn't that what Halloween's all about, bad taste? This isn't the first time we've seen people making fun of things. We're even seeing Ebola costumes, right?
Well, whenever we have a question about etiquette, we know the one guy to go to who sets us straight is our friend Bruce Endicott. He joins us on the line from Coffee right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Endicott. Happy Halloween to you, sir.
Happy Halloween, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. I apologize. We always have to ask, but Coffee stands for...
Oh, the organization Coffee? Yeah, mm-hmm. it's COFFEE, and that stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't see how anyone can have a complaint about that.
We're a large group of wealthy white people who are just trying to reach across to, you know, the other ones. Just trying to...
What do you mean, the other ones?
Lower ones. And trying to show that we can also be accepting and that we should all live together in brotherhood.
Okay. All right. So, Bruce, you heard what we were talking about before we brought you on the phone. Another hot topic this year is Halloween costumes. Good taste, bad taste.
Hot Topic's a great place to get a Halloween costume, too.
No, he wasn't talking about the store.
Not the store. Oh. What's your take? What's the policy of coffee? What's your advice to those of us who want to not make a faux pas with our costume choice this year?
Well, there's no need to be offensive. A lot of people try to be shocking and offensive in some way to draw attention to themselves. And it's really just... beyond being insensitive, it's just bad form.
Okay.
It's just not done, especially around the higher sets of classy people.
The what? The higher sets of classy people?
Yes.
Huh.
Like those of us who have country club memberships.
Okay.
You won't see a Ray Rice costume at the Cotillion this year. That's all I'm saying. So try to have some class. Don't be rude. Don't be offensive.
Okay.
Have fun with your costumes, but don't... don't tear someone else down trying to make yourself feel better. And show some initiative, too. So many people are lazy this time of year. One friend of mine who said, no one ever watches me. No one ever pays attention to me. And then he said for Halloween he's going to be the show Utopia on Fox. That's not a costume.
No. It isn't.
It's not a costume.
At all.
At all.
Yeah.
Some people are not leaving their house, claiming they're, I'm a quarantined Ebola nurse. No, you have to leave your house if you're going to be in costume.
Okay, so leaving your house as an Ebola nurse is good?
No, not at all.
Not good.
You just can't not do anything and say that's a costume.
Okay.
Right. Women, for example, are going to parties not being funny, saying they're Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
That's not a costume.
Yeah, not a costume. Okay.
If I go out in the streets and I just don't play football, it doesn't make me an Oakland Raider. That's not a costume.
Okay. All right.
You have to show some effort. For example, there are several groups of young men, four young men are getting together throughout the country, and they're tackling people in the streets and forcing CDs into their pockets, claiming they're U2.
That's not a costume.
That is. That's funny.
Oh, that is a costume. That one's okay. Okay.
Goddamn U2 forcing music on me. I don't like it.
Okay. But aren't you a rich white guy? I thought that U2 would be perfect for you.
Yes, but I want to buy my music. I don't just want to show up in my iTunes.
All right. We got off topic.
That's
I apologize.
Okay, it is like communism.
Okay. All right.
Don't go around touching kids saying you're Mama June's new boyfriend. Don't do that.
No, you shouldn't touch kids at all anyway.
No. Well, don't do that.
No.
It's bad form. That's not a costume. That's just you touching children.
Yeah. Right. But nobody needs
that. Use some initiative. For example, a great costume this year, there's a big Hawaiian volcano going on right now.
That's right, yeah.
Go to a party, fill your mouth with tomato juice, and spit it in the face of the person next to you. You're an exploding volcano.
That's not a good idea.
It is. It's like lava's coming out of you, and you're a volcano.
And that would be okay. That's acceptable, according to Coffin.
It's hilarious.
Wow. All right. I would have thought...
you do it to the help. That's really funny.
Well, sorry, no. Did you say the help?
The help.
You know, that's not how you...
hors d'oeuvres or whoever's working behind the bar or the nanny or the new housekeeper.
That's a terrible idea, I
think. Hilarious.
Okay, hilarious. All right.
Sometimes a group of 30 or 40 people will get together and just pull a parachute over themselves and go as Iggy Azalea's ass.
Okay.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Okay, so that gets the thumbs up.
And a lot of women are going out in skeleton costumes saying they're Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That is not only funny. Well, actually, it's not exactly funny. It's a little inaccurate because... the skull is actually prettier than Taylor Swift, so maybe that's not a good idea.
Great show still to come here this morning on a Thursday, including the legendary Stan Lee from Marvel Comics joins us in a little bit. Also, Jim Rome will be on just after the top of the hour. First, though, every time we want to class up the joint, we reach out to our friends over at CBS and say, hey, get us some of that Allison Janney. We'd like to talk to her on the program because she makes us look good. Allison, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am very good. How are you guys?
We are very good, too. Is this
Kevin or Bean? I can't tell whose voice.
Well, I said we're very good too, and Bean brought you on. So most people can't tell us apart though, so it's all right.
I can't help my voice if I don't mind.
And you, by the way, are way too big a star to be up at this hour of the morning doing radio interviews. I have to say, don't you have people that you can say, hey, afternoon, please, look at the Emmys?
No, that's never worked for me. I'm not a good morning person either, but thank God it's radio. And this is like my favorite way to talk to anybody do any interviews is radio, because you just have no idea what I look like right now. You can hear my voice and know that I sound pretty wobbly.
Sexy. I was going to say sexy. I don't know what you were thinking. That's where I was going. So, Allison, I'm always fascinated by people like you who seem to be, and I'm not just trying to suck up because you're on the show, but I mean, you're so good in every role you do. And I think as an actor, to have the kind of career that you have where you can do the deepest, darkest dramas and do the lightest, funniest comedies, it must just feel like such a blessing all the time that you never got typecast into one type of role.
I know. I'm really grateful for that. And I think it's because I do the character roles. I love it because that's what my training. I grew up in the theater and there you do different roles all the time. I would go from doing my Broadway debut was doing a Noel Coward play, and then the next season I did a Arthur Miller play, and I'm used to jumping around like that. I'm not used to doing it so close on the heels of when I started doing Masters of Sex, and then I got Mom and did the pilot for that, and then went back to Masters of Sex, and it was actually very comfortable. I think if they had been roles that were similar, it would have been much more difficult, but these women were so different, and it's what I trained to do, and I'm really glad, because sometimes I'm in television, you know, it's a much different medium, and you're in people's homes as one character, and then you're in something else, and they're not as they don't necessarily want to embrace you yet as that. They want you to like CJ for Western,
right?
People like when I started doing Bonnie on Mom, some people were like, wow, that's I don't know if I want to see you in that part.
Well, people get very attached to their characters. You know, they love their stories. They get attached.
They do.
Your character on Masters of Sex would hate your character on Mob. Because, like you said, they're so opposite that they would never exist in the same universe.
They would never. Yeah, they wouldn't. Also, because then that would prove that I was not who I am.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people who start on Broadway don't. A lot of people who start on Broadway don't really get the same satisfaction out of doing TV or movies.
Yeah.
What drew you to this?
Well, it is different. Doesn't feel like the actor's medium, even though it is. I feel like your performance is decided in the editing room and on stage. There's something fluid about the acting experience for you get to have the whole thing is yours for that, you know, for 2 hours and that relationship with the audience is amazing. And I kind of love, this is my first foray into the three-camera sitcom world, and I get to perform in front of a live audience every time we tape. So it's sort of like the best of both worlds for me. And I never thought I would end up out here doing television or movies. I thought I would be a theater actress, and I slowly kept getting things that came out, you know, that had me come out here, and then West Wing happened, and the rest is history. And now I'm desperate to try to get back to do a play in New York, and it doesn't seem to fit in. But I'm just grateful that I get to do it all, that I've done, you know, everything. And if worst comes to worst,
I like that your fallback is Broadway.
Which is most people's dream.
I didn't mean to say it like that. I love Broadway. I would love to.
Well, if I got a slum on the boards, I guess I will. This is the voice of Allison Janney here at the Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, is one of the stars with the adorable Anna Faris, of course, of Mom, which debuts tonight for season 2 at 8:30 on CBS. Chuck Lorre had to be a big reason why you were sold on Mom. He's an actual certified genius, right?
Yeah, he is. It's remarkable. I've never met a man like that who is, all the shows he does, they're all right. We work on the Warner Brothers lot, and they're all right next to each other, all the stages, and he pops around, and he's just unbelievable. He asked me to come in and meet with Anna and see if we had any chemistry there, and I was really happy that there was, and we get along really well, and We had actually tried to do something together right after West Wing. We had a development deal with him and got to meet him and hang out with him. And I just think there's, I love the fact that he's a jazz musician as well. And I don't know, my family, my father's a jazz musician. And I think there's something about that that's connected to his ability to write and the rhythm of comedy or something. He's just, he's a brilliant, brilliant man. And, but the show that we worked on back after West Wing, it didn't end up going, so I really was happy that when this came around, I jumped at it, because I've wanted to be in his camp for a long time.
Last question, because so, I know you have to be out in less than a minute, Allison. You told Us Weekly recently that you love hip-hop music. Hip-hop music. That was a surprise to me. Who's your favorite?
Well, I don't really have a favorite. Like, I have my radio in my car is always on backspin, so I'm just listening to, you know, I like old-school stuff.
Can you sing every word to Grandmaster Flash when they come on?
No. Do you sing?
I might be able to.
Do you sing in your car with that music?
Yes, I do.
Nice.
And I would like to sing on. That's why I want to be on Jimmy Fallon's show and do his rap. showdown thing.
I'm sure he would be really happy to have you. I'm sure he would. All right, we know you got to go. We're glad we got a chance to catch up with you. We're excited to see you on our TVs tonight, CBS 8:30. It's the Return of Mom. Thanks, Allison.
You guys, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Ralph Garman steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
I don't know if you're familiar with one of my favorite actresses, Summer Glau.
Yep.
Yes.
She from the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she was on Alphas. She's on currently on Arrow. She was.
I hope you're going to say she's in the next room, and please welcome her to the show.
I'm not going to say any of that.
No. Oh.
However, it does tie in perfectly, Bean. Thank you so much for that setup. An obsessed fan has been creeping her out.
Oh, no.
Has been seen at her doorstep demanding $1 million and burning incense around the perimeter of her property.
Wait, demanding $1 million?
Yes.
That's a terrible stalker.
Yes, she is. He is. She had to run to the court for protection.
Was it Bean?
Yes.
Was not.
I'm sorry to say it was, in fact, Bean. Baxter.
Was not Bean. Just ask it.
Oh, I'm sorry. His name is Gary Jin. Came to her house in February. Said, I wrote a sequel to Serenity. I wrote a sequel to Serenity.
It was big.
I want to see you back on the screen where you belong. And he demanded.
I would not be surprised.
He demanded $1 million for his screenplay.
Oh, demanded. Wow.
A man deserves to get paid. Come
I wrote this sequel for you. Give me $1 million.
That's actually a bargain when you see how many words are in that script.
Her fiance confronted the guy. He didn't leave. He started to burn incense around her house to make a statement. Then 3 weeks later, she got a package. When she opened it, it was what looked like a bomb-shaped thing filled with bird feathers, tree branches, wires, and bones. My God, it's something of a True Detective.
What the
Seriously?
Hell?
She got a 4-page letter that she also received from him in which he said, relying on telepathy to communicate with you has been problematic for me.
Wow.
I thought that was a very polite way for Nick to phrase it.
He wanted an in-person conversation because the telepathy thing was just getting old.
This sucks for actors and actresses.
The judge saw it Summer Glau's way, and she did, in fact, get a restraining order against him. So that's good news.
But I still think you should do more episodes of the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Because that's what winners do.
Yeah, it's funny now, Nick. So you're in a courtroom.
Who, everything he writes is 50 pages long.
And
except for the movie, which is 5,000 pages.
And Amber Heard will be in a courtroom soon talking about him in the same terms.
Probably so.
You know how sometimes they tell you that the state owes you money? There's lists and lists and lists of people that are owed money by the state of California.
I hear that.
Every year, the Comptroller's Office that puts out a list of people, and they say you should go and check on your name, because it's possible that somehow, some way, if you're owed money, let's say for a job that you did, but you move and they're not able to send you the check, that check goes to the state, and they put it in a trust fund, and they hold it for you until you claim it.
So where can
there could be money floating around that you are owed that you've never picked up.
Where can you check?
There's a website, a California state website you can go to and punch in your name, and they'll tell you whether there's any money waiting for you.
I just did that last week, Ralph. I had three checks waiting for me for the state of Washington.
What?
Yep.
See, Kevin?
What?
Bean did it first!
First? Why did you do that last week, Bean?
Because
they like money.
Probably the I probably saw it the same place Ralph did. It's getting a little bit of a push right now, a little public service.
Huh. How much?
I think all told, it was around $40 between the three.
Yeah!
It's a lot of chocolate milk, Kevin.
Woo!
That's right.
You don't know. So TMZ thought it would be fun to punch in some celebrity names and see if they were owed any money.
Okay.
In fact, they are. You know, Orlando Bloom is owed, has some money waiting for him from NBC Universal. $38.71 they owe him. That's still waiting for him.
And that was probably from a, you know, a Tonight Show appearance or something like that he got rerun or something.
Tori Spelling has a $1,784 credit coming from Tiffany, the jewelry store, that they've got on hold waiting for her. She could use it from what she says.
I think so.
She should pick that check up. George Clooney is due $928 from an entertainment company. He never picked up that check. He should pick that up. He's got a wife now. He's going to need every last penny of that money.
That's a good point.
And Steven Spielberg has a check for over $10,000 from Bank of America that's waiting for him.
Wow.
That he never claimed. Only Steven Spielberg could have 10 grand missing and say, I didn't even know that.
I had no idea.
I'll get around to it maybe someday, picking up that 10,000. It's a lot of work, though, for $10,000 picking up a phone. I may want to pass on that. Rich bastard.
Spielberg's so rich, I bet if he drops like a couple of hundreds, he just doesn't even bother to pick them up off the ground.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Did you try your name, Ralph?
I haven't.
What? How do you do that story and not try your own name?
Because I just read it 5 minutes ago. Give me a break. I'll leave here and I'll go back.
Try your own name, mother effer.
And look for Kevin, too, while you're at it.
Oh, I will. I will claim Kevin's money, because you know there's no way he will ever get around to it.
How dare you?
I had a check in my pocket. I pulled it out, and the old ones came out, and my frog and my yo-yo, and I think I dropped the check for $2 billion.
Ralph came in the other day and said, do you have change for a $5 bill?
Because I said, the only person I know in the building I can safely go to and say, can I have five singles for a five, is you, because you carry around... Sometimes I'm thinking $600-$700 in $1 bills in his pocket.
That's not true, but it is.
Well,
a mess.
He's coming straight from the Spearmint Rhino every morning. Yeah. Come on,
it is a mess. I'm not exactly organized.
And he pulls out. I'm not kidding you. A fistful of money. No two bills are together folded at all. They're all separate and then folded separately and crunched up and mashed up. And it looks like
I feel like we're off topic.
If you.
Kevin hates wallets, remember.
If you went into one of those booths where the fan goes on and all the money is blown around you, and they give you a minute to grab as much money out of the air as possible, it's like he did that and then stuffed the money in his pockets before he left the house, and that's how he carries his money. It's insane. It's not even like a bunch of bills folded together, like with no wallet or no money clipper, or just a stack of money folded. It is wads of separate cash. Pushed together into a money ball.
Ralph, you strike me as the kind of guy who organizes his bills so that they're all face up and in the same direction and by currency number.
I am a wallet guy, and my money is exactly as you described. All in order. Facing in the same way and in sequential order from lowest denomination to greatest denomination.
Totally makes sense.
I'm not quite.
You are
like
no,
that
is not quite what you are like. You are pretty much money as toilet paper guy. There was a lot of ass on your paper. That's all I know.
How dare you? Do we have time for me as a five-year-old?
Sure, yeah.
Have you ever had a dream that you wanted him to do you so much you could do anything?
Yep.
We knew then that that young man had a career in broadcasting.
That was Kevin placing his breakfast order this morning. Today's celebrity birthdays. Janelle Parrish from Pretty Little Liars is 26 years old today. Matthew Morrison of Glee turns 36. Gavin Rosdale from Bush is 49 years old. Kevin Pollak is 57. And Henry Winkler turns 69. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Come on with that.
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:07.
Here's the thing, though. When you hear that music now, you don't think Guns N' Roses anymore. You think, oh, when's Rome coming on? Where's the Jim Rome show? He is heard on 240 radio stations nationwide and now back in Los Angeles on The Beast 980, starting weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Rome joins us on the Kevin Beach Show. Hello, Mr. Rome.
Dudes, I cannot believe it. 25 years in, I finally make it on your show. What's up?
Well, we have quite a backlog of guests. It takes a while for us to get to everybody, but thank you for your patience, Jim.
Yeah, we guys are slumming today.
How many Guns N' Roses albums do you think you personally are responsible for selling? And have you ever gotten any feedback from the band on you using their song as your theme song?
Yeah, I think for a long time I was able to do it, and for some reason it did not work its way back to Axl, and then Axl found out, and then he was pissed, and then he jammed us up for, you know, a big pile of cash. So I'm not sure how many albums I've sold, but the fat man was not happy with me for a while. Then again, he's never really happy, right?
Right. Yes, right. We work for the same fat man, so we know what you're talking about. Are you joking about that? Did you really end up having to pay to use that as your bumper music?
You know, it's the funny thing. Way back in the day when I busted out with that, you know, I just did it, and I did it, and I did it. But in the mid-1990s, believe it or not, we actually made an album. And there was a guy by the name of Scott Litt and Andy Gershon, and they had a record label, and they made this Jungle record, and we used the song. And Axl found out that we were using the song and was not cool about that at all. And as you might imagine, the guy sues anything that moves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For a long time, I got away with it. And I didn't think I was trying to get away with anything. I just did it. But then he found out, and he was not happy.
Yeah. All right. So you've been doing the Jim Rome show for how long now, sir?
I'm going to say maybe 25 years.
And
like 50.
And were you a guy who always knew you would be in sports radio, or were you a guy who hoped to be an athlete and settled for sports radio?
All the above. You know, I'm like every other kid grew up in Los Angeles and wanted to be a pro athlete, and figured out pretty early on that I did not have any game whatsoever, but I wanted to find a way to stay in sports. And I think you guys can kind of understand this, because I came in right around the same time you guys did. The world was totally different. I mean, there was not sports talk radio when I got in. And when I first did, there was only one sports talk station in America. That was FAN back in New York. Mm-hmm. So I went to Santa Barbara, got a job there. And yeah, I mean, we all realize we can't play the game. So hopefully we can talk about the game and somebody will pay us to do it.
How is it you're able to stand out on such a crowded dial in a market like Los Angeles, where The Beast is, what, the fourth all-sports radio station? How do you cut through, Jim?
Yeah, man, that's the big question right there. It's a really weird thing. I mean, it used to be there was one station in America. Now you've got four in the market, and everybody's battling for ears and eyes, and you got to find a way to stand out. You know, guys, my thing has always been, you know, they may not like what I have to say. They may like what I have to say. But as long as I say something and people are reacting, you've got to put yourself out there and make sure that it's compelling. You know, I want people to see something at night and say, damn, I want to hear what Rome has to say. Or I want people to call up or tune in and say, man, I hate that guy. I love that. I hate that guy. I hate his show. I hate what he's about. You know what he said Monday? You know what he said Tuesday? As long as they're there, it's good.
I wanted to ask you about sports fans, because it seems like they are much more like hardcore critical than any other type of fan. Do you find that?
Yes, absolutely. And I think part of the reason for that is, I mean, let's be honest, there aren't too many people in the world that roll out of the rack in the morning and they're really, really happy about what they do. I mean, what I find, and I hate to say it, and I don't want to be negative about it, but there's a lot of people that ended up in a life they didn't want to be in. Like, my job sucks. The wife is nagging me. The kids are not what I thought they were going to be. And things just did not turn out the way I thought they would.
Right.
But I've got my team. You know, I've got my team, and I've got Saturday, and I've got Sunday. And if the teams play well, then it's all good. But if they don't, then my life sucks even more than I thought. I mean, they are rabid. These people care a lot. And it's a good thing they do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have four stations in this market, and I wouldn't have anything to talk about.
You have to talk about all the major sports. Do you have a preference? Because I can never tell from you what your jam actually is, Jim. Which sports are you passionate about, and which ones do you just fake it?
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, I don't fake anything, because, you know, they can read through that. But it's a great question. My thing is, and I get this a lot too, who's your favorite team? Who's your favorite athlete? I don't have any favorites at all. You know, once they started to pay me to do this, I had to be objective. So I literally don't pull for any teams. I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses. The only team I like is team content. I've got a 3-hour show every single day. I've got to fill that thing up. I'm rooting not for guys, but things to talk about. So, I mean, the truth is, the NFL is king. Football is going to be the biggest thing always. But most of all, I'm just rooting for something to talk about every single day.
Was that a decision that you made early? Like, I can't be a fan of one because I need to talk about all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you have to be objective. Otherwise, you're going to be like, yeah, well, man, that's your favorite team, so why should I care what you have to say about that? And I'm trying to be as neutral as possible, and I'm trying to be as objective as possible. And the other thing is I do a national show. It's not like I'm paid to honk some local team. I got to try and be as much as I can to everybody. So, yeah, I decided early on, just stay in the middle, be neutral. I mean, shoot straight, have a take and don't suck. But I don't pull. I'm not a fanboy. I don't pull for certain teams.
I have been a lifelong Laker fan, and this year, of course, is going to be brutal. And yesterday we talked to Blake Griffin, and, you know, you basically have to give it up to him. Even though I'm a Laker fan, let's be honest. The Lakers are not setting the world on fire. They already lost two games, and they're going to lose a lot more.
So, yeah, I'm like you. I grew up in Los Angeles. I was a huge Laker fan, and because I've got such huge respect for Kobe Bryant and Byron Scott, I need to be very careful how I say this. In fact, fellas, I'm not sure how to put this, but the Lakers suck.
Yeah.
The Lakers suck.
Well, that was very diplomatically put, Jim.
Right?
They do.
Yeah, but when you've done this as long as I have, you can be diplomatic. I mean, I love Kobe and I love Byron, but there's really not much else to like about this team. They're old. They're beaten up. They're not that talented. They just lost their most important draft pick in years, Julius Randle, in the first game ever. I mean, this is going to be a long, ugly year, two down, 80 to go.
Let me ask you about Kobe, because I think it's that drive that has made him one of the best ever. But now he's on a team that's not going to win, and he can't physically carry them anymore like he maybe could used to in the past. Is that going to backfire? Is the Lakers losing season going to destroy him?
I think it is. I mean, this guy is a different cat altogether. He's just wired differently. I've never seen an athlete quite like him. I saw him once in Orange County, and I went out and I had dinner, and I saw him, and it was like in the middle of the off season. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I said, "Hey, man, let's have a pop." He's like, "I have to go to the gym." I'm like, "You have to go to the gym at 9 o'clock at night in the middle of the off season," and that was before he got hurt. He's just a different guy, and he's so competitive. I think he's going to do everything he can to play as well as he can. But if they go out there and they get their brains beaten in every single night, that's not going to sit well with him, and I think he's not going to handle that very well at all.
You're listening to the voice of the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin DeBean Show, host of the Jim Rome Show, now back in Los Angeles on The Beast 980 from 9 till noon. You can also see Jim on your TV on the CBS Sports Network at 3 o'clock West Coast time. Jim, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we have to talk about the World Series from last night. And I'm also fascinated, as long as you've been doing this job and as many venues as you've done it, you must become friends with some of these people. And how do you balance that with your neutrality that you talked about? We'll talk more with Jim Rome right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hometown boy makes good, Jim Rome, on with us now on the Kevin DeBean Show. You can hear him starting at 9 o'clock this morning on AM 980. It's The Beast, KFWB, Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Network, weekday afternoons at 3 on DirecTV. Hey, Jim, you were just telling us at the end of the song that you used to be a traffic reporter, and that blows my mind. I can't picture that for a million years.
Yeah, that might have been the best gig I ever had, actually. When I got my start in Santa Barbara, I would do traffic reports, and they paid me $5 an hour just to drive up and down the freeway and report on the traffic. And one day I come in, and the boss, who was a really intimidating guy, says to me, "Hey, Rome, how come we're not hearing about any accidents?" And I said, "Because there are no accidents. We live in Santa Barbara." He said, "Really?" He goes, "You find some accidents, or I'll find somebody who will." So at that point, I thought my career was in jeopardy, so I just started making accidents up. And everything was always in the clearing stages, and it was all good. But that's how I got my start. That was a good gig.
That is hilarious. All right, well, we got a few more minutes with you, Mr. Rome. Let's talk about the World Series last night. I know that it's common. There's a lot of hyperbole in sports where everything is the greatest this and the best ever that. But I feel like we really did watch history with Madison Bumgarner in this World Series, a performance like we've never seen before. Am I wrong?
100%. No, 100%. I mean, it literally was one of the most amazing things I have ever seen in any sport. This guy single-handedly won the Giants the World Series. The guy's filthy. He comes in. He goes 5 innings on 2 days rest. I mean, we all knew that he'd get in there at some point. I figured maybe an inning, maybe two, maybe three, but probably not. And the guy goes 5 and just shuts Kansas City down in Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, it's really stupid. We have never, ever seen anything like that. And I'd say we're never going to ever again. And on top of that, that's a dude who can shotgun 6 beers at one time.
I'm not a big baseball fan, but I did watch the bottom of the ninth. And that play where there were 2 errors by fielders, does that happen in
baseball? It looked like they were throwing the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked like it was 3 Stooges. Does that happen where there's 2 errors on one play?
No, not often. Ever? Not often. And by the way, if they don't overcome that, that's the kind of thing that makes you a goat for life. You got to live with that your entire life. I mean, that could go so badly on the biggest stage. And that's why you got to give that guy all the credit. I mean, what a flatline. That guy, he was not at all nervous, totally poised, and totally composed. You knew he was not going to let them lose. So, no, you don't see that type of thing very often, but it could have gone really, really badly.
What do you say, and I know you'll be addressing this on your show later today when you take calls from Los Angeles Dodgers fans, what do you say to ease the pain of them watching the Giants win yet another World Series?
There's nothing I can say. I mean, L.A. hates Frisco, and me being an L.A. native, I've got no problem calling them Frisco.
Because like you know that. It annoys them.
It annoys the hell out of them, you know. But by the way, they hate us more than we hate them. Just like San Diego hates L.A. more than L.A. hates San Diego. I would love to say, hey, Dodger fan, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be just fine. Right now, the Giants are a better organization. But they're a better organization than anybody in baseball because they've run that thing three times in the last 5 years. So the Dodgers have a plan. They're working it. But right now, they still have a lot of work to do to catch up to San Francisco.
Bill Plachke said from Los Angeles Times last night, he said, Dodger fans shouldn't be mad by this. They should be jealous of the San Francisco Giants organization. But that's a tough thing for a Dodger fan to admit, I bet.
Hey, by the way, we don't care. That's part of being an L.A. fan, right? Things don't go our way. We find something else to do. I mean, L.A. fan is never going to be jealous or envious of San Francisco. They will just find something else to do. Now, it used to be they could just roll with the Lakers. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
You know what Dodger fan will do? Dodger fan will jump on the Clipper bandwagon, and it will be all good.
Right. All right. In our remaining moments, Jim, I asked you before the break, you talked about how you like to stay neutral. You don't really care who wins or loses. You just want good content, something fun to talk about on the radio with your listeners. You must become friends with a lot of these athletes, though, from working with them for so long. How do you not let that influence what you say and think?
It's actually such a good question. I try and actually stay as far away from them as I can, like socially. Because you know what happens? Inevitably, there are guys that I take a liking to. There are guys that go out of the way to do the show. And I think you guys can respect this. If somebody says they will do your show, you appreciate that and you respect that.
Right.
And then you have a relationship, you think. But then if that same guy does something really stupid and steps out of line, then I got to smash him. And that's not easy to do. So I've always kind of gone out of my way not to get too close to any of these guys, not have that connection. Because inevitably, when they do step out of line, I'm the one who's got to pound them. And that's not an easy thing to do. So the answer is I'm not really friendly with them at all.
Is there a sport that has – I don't know how to ask this. We've talked to a lot of athletes. And I think hockey athletes are better interviews, and UFC are great. What do you find?
That's true. I'm gonna say hockey players generally are better interviews because generally, frankly, they're better guys. They're just better guys. They're great guys to deal with. And I think part of the reason is it's the way they brought up. A lot of these guys come from small towns or they come off a farm. And from day one, they're taught to respect their sport. They're taught to respect the opportunity. There's a fundamental respect within the whole thing that you don't see in every other sport. So I think hockey players are some of the best guys. And that's why they're great interviews. I'm with you guys. I love MMAers. They're not what they seem. I think a lot of people think that it's just a bunch of dudes who go into a bar and want to knock dudes out. A lot of the MMAers that I've interviewed are extremely well-educated, yeah, and they're interesting, and it's different.
It's almost like the I think they're trained to do media because they're really great at it. Almost all of them.
Yeah, exactly. They know that. Dana White wants to put the product out there. He wants them to promote, and they know that's part of the job. I think in a lot of other sports, and I find this now, the more I do this, the less I think guys want to go on the air because they don't want to misstep. They don't want to say something that's going to get them in trouble. They feel like the media is an obligation to them. But in MMA and UFC, these guys know that it's part of the job. Get out there and promote yourself, promote the fight, and promote the brand. And they don't see it as an obligation, but they see it as something that they're supposed to do and they want to do it.
Do you, as a talk show host, love Twitter because guys on football teams, baseball teams, professional athletes can put stuff out there that they never did before?
Twitter's crazy.
It's awesome.
Twitter is it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. When it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, it's not. But I've said this since day one. What Twitter is a loaded gun. Twitter is a loaded gun, and I guarantee it will go off, and it always does. So if you've got a loaded gun, you better be a responsible gun owner and know how to use that thing, or it will go off. It is a loaded gun, and all athletes should know. Memo to all athletes, do not say it on Twitter
right.
If you would not say it to a reporter, because it's the exact same thing.
You can follow Jim Rome on Twitter at Jim Rome. The website is jimrome.com. Hear him every morning from 9 till noon on The Beast at 980 a.m. here in Southern California. And, of course, the Jim Rome Show airs on the CBS Sports Network weekday afternoons at 3. It's been a long time coming, sir. Much mutual respect for you. We're so happy to have you on. We're happy to have you back in the market. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Kevin, Bean, you guys are absolute legends. I've listened to you for years, and I can't tell you how cool it was to be on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I'm so excited and so looking forward to this. Our friend Carla Solarte is on the line. You know her as Rosa G from the 4th of July song.
4th of July. 4th of July. Everybody. 4th of July. 4th.
Now that's when we first started paying attention to Rosa G and fell deeply in love with her. Am I right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
And then came the Labor Day song.
We popping off for Labor Day. We at the top on Labor Day. A 3-day weekend just for Labor Day. I mean, pop the Labor Day list.
So we have just been parked on the Rosa G YouTube channel ever since, knowing that Halloween was coming and knowing that eventually the day had to be here where her song debuted, and it did a couple of days ago. Halloween King Size Candy is the name of the song from Rosa G, and the genius behind Rosa G is Carla Solarte, and she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Carla, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Oh, my gosh. It's so cool to talk to you. I'm such a fan of you. Oh,
we are so excited about your song.
I have to tell you that we would come in, it was almost like every day we would come in and we'd all just kind of be sad, just kind of be moping around the studio going, is it up yet? No, it's not up yet. Then we just have to check 20 minutes later. How about now? Is the video up yet? No, because we knew it was coming. Tell us about putting together your Halloween song this year.
Yeah, so, you know, like, Big Candy Bar is like a unicorn in Halloween. It's super rare. And I was like, but it's what everybody wants. So I was like, I need to make fun of something else that is just not pumpkins or, you know, that stuff. So I was like, candy, and King Size Candy just came to my head, and I was like, King Size Candy, and it just came out like how it starts, so with the hook, and then, you know, with the hook, you have, okay, then I want to write whatever in the verse. So that's how it came up, actually.
All right, Kevin, let's hear a little bit of the Halloween King Size Candy song. What do you think?
Unbelievable. Halloween is here. I'm so excited, it's scary. Let's start. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy. Oh, it's a G. Check the date. Halloween is here. Gotta regulate. My costume look ill like Dallas Buyers. Katniss Erdeen. Yo, no, I'm on fire. Ring the doorbell and be polite. If you give me king size, I'll be back all night. Cup so many flavors, I can count them. Big butterfingers, yeah, I'm about them. Haters get so mad, cause they can't stop it. It ain't trick or treat, and if you ain't got it, mess around, I'ma catch your body. If I see neck wafers, I throw them in the pot. Whoops. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. King size candy, getting king size candy. On Halloween, getting king size candy. Early in the night, fill my candy bag. So that's not a problem, I got another bag. I'm bussing, running laps on these fools. Hit the house twice is Rosa G's rule. Get my candy, you don't have a chance. I'll send you to the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants. Let chuck you from the flick, I'll run them up. Fun size has me like, yeah. Raisins, toothbrush, dots, and apples. If you give me these, you're just an apple. Want my sneakers, Reese's, Kit Kats, and Twix. Put M&M's, Pop Rocks, and Nerds in the mix. Yeah. Bad homeless eat, you know that sound. Candy crunch food, candy crunch by the pound. Like crunch, 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 talking. Crunch, 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 get it. King size candy, getting king size candy.
We are talking to Carla Solarte behind Rosa G and the new Halloween song, which we have up on the Kevin Bean Facebook page right now. So let's talk a little bit about making this video, Carla. First of all, Rose's rapping and dancing has not improved. Am I right?
Exactly. I mean, in her mind, that's the best, of course. You know, she dances the best and she raps the best. But yeah, I mean, that's gonna be what you see.
Do you have to sort of try to dance poorly? You know what I mean? Like,
Yes, of course.
Because she's actually Colombian in real life, so you know that she can dance, Kevin. So
exactly,
this might be
exactly.
Tough to hold back. How many different costumes did you put Rosa in for this video? I lost count.
I think like five.
to be.
I guess I just can't count very high then.
Yeah, it was Katniss, it was Dracula, it was a skeleton.
Beetlejuice.
And then Rosa G as, like, Rosa G in a costume.
How long does it take you to do this video? Or a typical video?
Yeah, it took me, you know, the longest part is usually the editing because I practically do it too. So that's the longest one. And in this one, I wanted to use the green screen and use more graphics and stuff like that. But it probably takes me, like, a week to shoot it. Mm-hmm. But then writing it takes like other like week and a half, and then, you know, making the songs, I have to go and record it and work with the musician almost 3 days for the song.
Rosa G's going big time on us with a green screen.
Seriously.
Come on.
There's no question this is the most complex video that you've put up so far. I mean, you've got all these different props and costumes and everything like that. I mean, it's definitely complicated. And how are the videos being received? What kind of reaction do you get from people?
It's good. Like, there's people, you know, actually it's funny because there's people that think that Rosa G is real. You know, it's very real. So I get, like, emails and messages of people, like, that actually get mad because they're like, oh, I found out that you're not Rosa G and all of this, like, and I'm like, what? No. And I also get emails of people that are like, oh, my God, you're Rosa G. Like, this is so cool. Like, if it was Rosa G for real, like, they probably don't see the channel. They don't, you know about me. So they really think that Rosa G exists. So they get really excited.
Do they also think? People love it. Do they also think that Rosa G is serious and that you're a bad rapper, you're a bad dancer? Do you get that kind of response?
Yeah, totally. That's the best.
Because they don't know that you're doing it on purpose.
Exactly.
But imagine how many Raiders fans must propose to Rosa G every day. they would fall deeply in love with her. What do you do when you're not making videos for YouTube? I mean, obviously, you're very talented as a actor, writer, director, producer, all that. I mean, do you have a job in show business, Carla?
Yeah, I work more in the, like, I'm pretty nerd on that side, so I'm very computer. I edit for other companies. I work on social media for them. I also know a little bit of coding and programming, so good. I do that.
Yeah, we do that too.
Yeah, we're smart too. Hey, come on. And what's the ultimate goal? Like, what would you like to end up doing? I mean, do you want to make movies, or where do you hope your career is headed?
That's an amazing question. It would be awesome to keep on doing, like, comedy. And I love the actual digital, you know, that you could put, like, YouTube. It's amazing to me. When I discovered it, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can do this now. I can just put it up. And so eventually I would love to work somewhere on, like, you know, having my own show, I guess. And being comedy. And I don't know if it will be, like, something digital, exploring characters.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe somebody like Funny or Die or somebody might catch wind of you and, you know, you can get in the fold with somebody like that. I mean, it seems like that would be a great fit for you.
Oh, that would be, like, a dream job.
Well, we are all deeply in love with Rosa G. I don't mind telling you. And I think this Halloween video is your best one yet. And we cannot urge our audience enough to go immediately and watch the video. And you must be thinking, like, there's never a time when you're not looking ahead to see what the next holiday is at this point, because you know now your fans are expecting something, right?
Yes, I'm already starting to think about.
Is it Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Christmas? Are you doing all of them?
I think so. I think that it would be cool to actually do all of them and see have a holiday album, Rosa G holiday album.
I like it. I love it. I love it. Well, again, you can see the video on the Kevin Devine Facebook page. And if you can't remember that, just type in Rosa G and all of her videos will come up. You're doing great work. And we were so excited when the video dropped a couple days ago. And we were so happy to have you back on. Thank you, Carla.
That's amazing. And you guys are so inspiring and are extremely funny. And I love your show. It's amazing and fantastic.
You don't have to lie. So we already like you.
It's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
No more boring baseball. Woo! We can start having fun.
Guys, only 158 days till opening day.
Oh, damn you right to hell.
I was actually sad last night to see the season end when I realized there's no more baseball.
Well,
actually
you're alone, because the rest of us have football, and that's all that matters.
Jim Rome is back in here. Right. What happened?
Football's king. Always will be. Boom. There, I said it.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Thursday? You all right, sport?
I'm terrible.
You're starting to circle the drain this week. I don't know what's going on with you, but it's not good.
And it's definitely not good.
In another 2 months, you're going to be at my level.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we got troubles,
you
guys.
Need to turn it around.
Lisa, we better man the lifeboat.
I'm pretty sure.
If they both go that direction,
yeah, that's it.
It is lights out.
I'm in a lot of pain, Ralph. I have a very serious back injury that's going on right now, and
ouch.
I'm lots of drugs and lots of pain, and it's the kind of back injury that where you can barely breathe. It's that kind of thing. So I'm not thinking clearly, and I'm making a lot of mistakes, and I apologize for that.
The back pain is the worst.
There I go.
Did you fall into a radiator? Is that what happened?
Yes, Jim.
Because that is dumb. It's a dumb way to get hurt. There, I said it. Now I'm done. Thank you, Alvin.
I like Jim Rome.
I do, cool. too. That was a great interview. Yeah. I was very entertained. I've always been a fan.
Me too.
And I'm glad he's back on the radio on The Beast. That's right. That's where I am. The Beast on The Beast. Rome is burning. Last hour, I did a little story about the state of California. You may not know this rare state law, but if there's any unclaimed property or wages or salary or monies owed a California citizen and they don't collect it after a certain time, it is the responsibility of the state to hold it for that citizen until said time where that citizen collects it.
Okay.
So the controller of the state of California has a website you can go to where you punch in your name and they'll tell you if there's any money owed you. So TMZ did a funny little thing where they said, let's type in some celebrity names to see if they have any money coming to them. And sure enough, Orlando Bloom. Now, I sound like I'm doing Rome, but I'm not doing him. Orlando Bloom. He gets some money from Universal. $38.71. Tori Spelling had some money. George Clooney had over $900 due to him. And Steven Spielberg had $10,000 owed him by the Bank of America that he just hasn't even noticed that he didn't get paid. It's just sitting in the state controller's office.
Look, if you have, what do you think he's worth?
Honestly, $100 million.
Easily, right? I think easily. Yeah. Yes, that's conservative.
So $10,000 to him.
Never missed it.
Yeah.
He never missed $10,000. If you were owed $10,000 by anyone, wouldn't you know about that?
Hey, you got my money? Hey, you got my money? Hey, you got my money? Hey, you got my money?
You would walk from here to Phoenix to collect if you had to.
So I was given some stick from the boys here for having not entered my own name because I had just read the story and didn't get a chance to go on the website. But I did. I went on the website, and turns out, as expected, I am very aware of when I am owed money, and so all my money has been collected.
Oh, that's too bad.
There is no money sitting in a drawer somewhere waiting for me.
Aww.
However, Kevin...
What? Yes?
I punched in Kevin's
name. Yes? Tell me the good news.
Kevin has two different claims that he can get his money. He's got two separate claims that he is owed money.
Fantastic.
I thought it would be funny to enter his
name. $10,000?
Well, not exactly $10,000.
$5,000?
Not exactly $5,000.
$100?
The Warner Brothers Studios owe you in one claim $8.49.
Okay.
And in another claim, also from Warner Brothers, $1.56.
Yay!
So I printed these out for you if you want to collect them. Here's your statements that...
Hey, don't knock it. It's $9, Kevin.
You just
got to
enter that in, and then you can just wad it up and stuff it into your pants, and then you can carry that around with you for this.
I'm retiring, you suckers. Have fun.
That's three nights at Taco Bell for you.
Have fun working, suckers. That's what Kevin says to us before he moves on. I'm out of time already. That was fun, wasn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, it was.
Now we're done. Today's celebrity birthdays, Henry Winkler, 69 years old today. Kevin Pollak turns 57. Gavin Rossdale from Bush. Galvin Rossdale. He is 49 years old. Matthew Morrison of Glee. Kevin and Bean were stunned this morning when I told them that Glee was still on the air.
I thought that show seriously got canceled like 2 years ago.
Nope. Been on the air. Still on the air.
Wow.
I believe they're going into their final season this year.
I'm shocked by that.
They're going to say goodbye.
Because you don't... I haven't seen it anywhere. You know what I mean?
Look at Beer Mug typing in state controller's office.
That's right.
Before we're even out of the segment. Like, I want to see if I have anybody coming. Trust me, you don't.
If
beast pauper.
If you owe, do you then have to pay them? Or is that not part of the site?
I don't think... I think if you owe, you know it. I think they knock on your door and send you mail and stuff like that. This, they don't tell you about it. You have to sort of seek it out for the unclaimed amount.
Getting $9.
Yes, you are.
Your mug's still there.
Sadly, yes. It's the bottom of the page, douchebag.
Okay.
Search our unclaimed property database. Sweet. You click on that, and then you enter your name.
Sweet!
Gavin Rossdale from Glee is 36 years old. We mentioned that. Janelle Parrish from Pretty Little Liars turns 26 years old. Now I'm gonna wait and see if Jonathan.
Yeah, it's gonna take him a half hour to do this.
No. Does he know how to spell his last name?
I tell you, he spells it all with up and down capitals and lowercase letters. I know that much.
Come on.
What's going on here?
You're an idiot. That's
you're
what's
typing
going on.
Poorly.
All right. Take off caps lock. Like a monkey.
Wow.
There we go.
Yes.
Ralph, this may not have been the best decision to.
I know, to wait on this.
Wait on mugs.
No match. Nothing. No unclaimed property for you. What a surprise. You don't have any money that you have in the bank claimed. What makes you think there's just money floating around out there that you haven't claimed?
Some random
you
company
live in your
there.
Parents' basement, for God's sake. You think there's some just big slush fund waiting for you to cash in someplace?
Maybe.
No, not maybe. No chance. Kevin's a guy who's got a life and a business and a charity and a family and jobs and money coming in. His chance it might someone might have slipped through the cracks. There's no chance any money slipped through your cracks.
You don't know if you don't
look. I do know.
He knew before. He told you not to look.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One final pair of passes to join us tonight at the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with 30 Seconds to Mars performing at the Fonda Theater. Keep listening. We'll tell you when to call in and when. Ralph, I know you're very excited about who's on the phone.
I love me some Daniel Pickett.
Tell us the story that you broke in the showbiz beat, please.
I was talking about the fact that there was a mom in Florida, in Fort Myers, Florida, who was beyond offended that she was in her local Toys R Us and she saw on the shelves action figures based on the characters from the TV series Breaking Bad. Which, by the way, keep in mind, when Toys R Us had these figures on the shelves, it was in the adult collector's aisle, where they have a ton of action figures based on all different kinds of films and TV shows. Dexter and things like that. All kind of stuff for grown-up collectors. Because action figures aren't just for kids anymore. There's a ton of adult collectors who love to collect these action figures that are beautifully sculpted to resemble their favorite characters of TV and movies. So for 9,000 names that she got on a petition, she was able to strong-arm Toys R Us into pulling the items from the shelves of their stores are, as they're saying, indefinitely suspended from the Toys R Us shelves so that people can't buy their action figures at Toys R Us anymore. And look, I know you can buy them online and stuff like that, but for a lot of people, it was a convenient way for them to do their collecting. And now that option is no longer available.
It's not
to
just
them.
That. It's big companies, you know, getting bent over by a small group of people that just they don't like it, so they don't want anyone to have it.
A vocal minority who are able to influence the behavior for the rest of us, which is really unacceptable.
Well, your man Daniel Pickett is on the line. He went to Change.org, got his own petition up to try to keep those action figures on the Toys R Us shelves. His petition, by the way, is at 62,456 signatures as of right now. Daniel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. Good morning, fellas.
Now, Daniel, for those who don't know, runs a website called ActionFigureInsider.com. It's one of the leading action figure news sites. And you're a big toy collector yourself, right, Daniel?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I collect just about everything right now.
And action figures based on popular TVs and shows for an adult collector market, it's a big business now, right?
Yeah, it's huge. And that's actually Toys R Us was the first sort of big box retailer to recognize that as a viable revenue stream and created that adult collector section.
I didn't know there was an adult collector section in Toys R Us. I was not aware of that, but that makes this all the more important, I think.
Exactly, yeah. And because Toys R Us, because the figures in question are made by a company called Mezco Toys, and they're kind of a smaller toy maker. So having Toys R Us buy into that line, because, you know, Breaking Bad, the show is over. It's kind of a niche property. So having one of the big box retailers, and in this case Toys R Us, buy into that helped make these figures get made so that they can repaint them and have variants online. But if Toys R Us hadn't bought into this, I think they made one Heisenberg figure, and that's kind of all they thought they were going to be able to make. But because Toys R Us bought in, they were able to make the Walter White version and now the Jesse Pinkman version.
So for these smaller manufacturers to keep these toy lines alive, they need to be able to sell to big stores like Toys R Us, and that's what makes other figures available for collectors.
That's right. Yeah. And Ralph, just to correct the story slightly, the Florida mom didn't even walk into a Toys R Us. A friend of hers told her about it.
Oh, I had no idea. It's always that way.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, what is it? What's the gist of your petition? You want them to put them back on the shelves. Why and how?
Well, and I'm even willing to do a compromise to even put them back on the Toys R Us website. I just think it's too important to keep that adult collector market going and be able to do these kind of properties, because you know the same company right now is making Sons of Anarchy figures, and those are in Toys R Us. So I'm sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop. About 2 years ago, Ralph mentioned the Dexter figures. Another outrage mom got those pulled from Toys R Us because they don't think they're viable. So I started the Change.org petition because I wanted the same people, the same eyeballs, to be able to see my petition. And it got picked up by Aaron Paul, who was Jesse Pinkman, and R.J. Mite, who was Walt Jr., and they've been retweeting it. And that's how, you know, it's sort of snowballed in. We've lapped the Florida mom about six times on the amount of signatures.
Is that going to make a difference to Toys R Us, do you think, or they don't want the blowback of bad publicity if they cave on their original decision to pull them?
I think right now that's kind of tricky because they're going into their Christmas season. You know, they want to be talking about their big book catalog and not about, you know, drug lord action figures.
But if, in fact, they are trying to respond to their audience, their clients, and they were saying they were being influenced by these moms who do buy toys and that's why they made their choice, then shouldn't they also be equally influenced by a large number of adult collectors who want to see those items in their stores?
Absolutely. I mean, Ralph, you're no secret to collecting.
No.
You know, you're very familiar with it. We walk into Toys R Us a couple of times a week just to see what's new.
Yep.
So she had 9,000 signatures. You have 62,000 signatures. Have you heard anything from them?
No, it has been radio silence from them so far. Last week, when I hit 40,000, I sent the petition and a nice letter to their entire executive staff. Someone has just done a little research and passed on some headquarter phone numbers to me. So that's kind of my next step, is to have that conversation with them.
Do you think it'll work? Do you think they'll sell them again?
I hope so.
I mean, too.
It sort of depends on, I don't have the information, you know, if they boxed them up and sent them back to Mezco, if someone else picked up that inventory, I don't know. But, again, it's that sort of slippery slope if we keep letting these people dictate. Because the Florida mom, she's saying things like kids emulate their action figures.
Yeah.
Kids shouldn't know what Breaking Bad is.
Right.
To them, it should just be a bald guy in a members-only jacket and slacks.
Yeah, and they have no interest in buying that action figure.
Which they wouldn't want.
Right. You don't walk past Spider-Man and Batman and the Power Rangers and go, oh, the chemistry teacher, that's what I want.
All right, so our listeners, will it help you if our listeners go to your petition at change.org and sign up?
Absolutely. As many names as we can get, that shows Toys R Us that people think that we should be able to, we should be able to buy what we want. And kids, you know, there's 40 other aisles in Toys R Us for stuff for them.
And if you don't,
absolutely.
One little section.
And if you don't care about Breaking Bad, look, when a mom decides whatever you're passionate about.
Yeah, when that gets pulled from a store, you'll pay attention.
It's a bigger issue.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
we need to start protesting in front of Toys R Us in like the yellow hazmat suits with the gas masks on and everything.
And sell meth.
We should sell meth outside Toys R Us. That's a good idea.
No one could have any problem with that, Ralph.
Oh, wait, I may have lost train of thought here.
We do have a link to the petition from Daniel, by the way, at the Kevin Abid Facebook page. So that's an easy way to get it. Hey, one quick unrelated question, Daniel, before we go, since you're an action figure guy at actionfigureinsider.com. What's the hot item for you this Christmas? I'm just curious.
Well, McFarlane Toys actually just created this crazy new kind of construction set, like Lego, based on The Walking Dead.
And,
ironically, they are, through the end of 2014, they are Toys R Us exclusives.
So, yeah, so zombies good, meth is bad.
Exactly,
okay,
right, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, you can follow him on Twitter at AFInsider, and it's Daniel Pickett who has been our guest. We really appreciate you spreading the good word here. Thanks, Daniel.
Well, thanks for helping out.
By the way, big week for Clippers fans. Not only does the season start for your team tonight against Oklahoma City at Staples Center, but we had Blake Griffin on the show yesterday. You can hear that interview at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Tomorrow, Ralph Lawler from the Clippers broadcast team is going to be joining us in studio. We also have RJ Bell to talk NFL picks tomorrow. Why are you blah, blah, blahing?
Because I'm a Laker fan.
Because you're a sad Laker fan?
It's a sad time to be a Laker fan.
And Kevin, something for you tomorrow. We're going to be talking to the guy who's making Count Chocula beer just in time for Halloween.
We actually got that. We got a bottle of that. So we're going to try it, and I got to be honest with you, I love beer, and I love Count Chocula. I don't. I think the mixture is going to be bad.
Yeah, I can't picture them together either.
No.
I just can't. Anyway, that's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock. First, though, how about the Kevin DeBean Afro line for you at 323-520-AFRO. It's our 24-hour-a-day voicemail. You call on any topic. I think a lot of people are starting to look at the calendar and realizing they were almost out of Rocktober, and that's what this call's about.
All right, everyone, get your nipples and jumper cables ready, because it's Shocktober. Oh, yeah!
I don't think we're ready to make that switch,
nope.
But how about him calling back?
It's time for us to wrestle some gators, because it's Croctober.
This is Captain Bad Idea right here.
What if I were to say there was yet another Afro call after that one?
Live long and prosper, mother. It's Spocktober.
I don't think we need Spocktober, sir.
Now I'm starting to appreciate the amount of work, though. Good job.
I'm not sure I get this one. Tell me what I'm missing.
I hope you're ready to alter some images on your computer, because it is Croptober.
Anyone?
Crop.
Is that
crop.
A...
C-R-O-P, when you crop an image.
Oh, Croptober. Oh. That's what he's saying. No, boo.
That's a terrible one. Stupid.
Yeah, don't ever call us again, sir. I do know that this is a terrible idea.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I'm just so happy that it's the end of Croptober. Now, New Age November.
Woo!
No.
Woo! I love you, Anya!
No, no Anya, no New Age, no,
that's
we're
funny,
not doing
though.
That. It's Blowvember or it's nothing.
Is that the first time the sentence, I love you, Anya, has ever been said?
Certainly
I believe
this
so.
Station. Yeah.
I believe so, yes. You know how from time to time we'll talk about some band that Kevin saw at the Troub last night?
Sure.
And it's always like the Queen's skid marks or explosive diarrhea or something like that. Well, this listener is very confused and very upset, Kevin.
So I looked up a lot of these bands you claim to see at the Troub. And none of them exist. Not a single one.
Yeah, very disappointed with us.
Wow.
Here's a listener checking in. I'm not sure we needed this.
I don't know what everyone's so afraid of. I smoked a bowl this morning. And oh, hi.
We're not afraid of anything, sir. That's your paranoia coming through. Lisa, what's going on with your throat, by the way, before we hear this Afro call? What's happening? Give us an update, because the listeners are starting to notice that you've had some breakdowns.
You still
lately.
Have meat stuck?
I think it's better when I go diving. It wrecks it because it's so dry. So for
I
the
think
next
she means
several
scuba
days,
diving.
Scuba diving.
Oh, scuba diving.
So for the next
sorry,
several
sorry.
Days, it's really, it's a disaster.
Because of breathing in the oxygen from
yeah,
the tank?
Yeah, it's super, super drying, and it just wrecks my throat.
Well, this listener has a question.
I'm Lick Lisa. Squeeze her to clear her airway.
Well, if it helps, I'm in.
I'm Lick Lisa. There was a TV commercial, very popular, a couple of years ago. They played it a lot during the NFL games about how only winners get wings.
Yeah.
What was that for, by the way? Was that for Buffalo Wild Wings or something? Is that what that was for? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was one of those places, yeah.
Well, ever since then, we talk about – that's how we talk about the – you know, when your team wins on the on the Kevin and Bean show, like when Kevin's Cardinals won last week, he got wings. Well, here's a very sad listener who can't play.
Yeah, hi. I'm a Raiders fan. What do wings taste like?
I saw an article that said, is it too early to really consider that the Raiders might go 0-16?
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine that would happen. At some point, somebody's going to let their guard down and get beat by Oakland, and it's probably going to be the Seahawks this year.
I hope so.
We had Jake Gyllenhaal on the show last week from the tremendously entertaining new movie called Nightcrawler. And, Kevin, you recall you had a little bit of trouble introducing him.
Just a bit.
For the first time ever, you called him Gyllenhaal, and then it was Gyllenhaal, and then I forgot, and then I'm confused, and that's what this listener's calling.
Okay, I don't call very often to compliment you guys, but that interview with Jake Gyllenhaal or Jack Gyllenhaal or whatever his name was, that was the funniest thing I've heard on your show in a long time. I almost had to pull the car over
Yeah. One more call on Jake Gyllenhaal, reminding us of something we used to do on the show a lot.
That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. How do you like that? Ooh, yeah.
Remember from the Brookback Mountain?
Oh, sure.
This Afro call came in on a Saturday, which a lot of people may not realize was, in fact, practically a holiday.
I called last month to wish Bean a happy three-quarters Christmas, and I've been feeling bad about making fun of him and his beloved fractional Christmas celebration. So I say with all my heart, happy 5/6 Christmas, Bean. And to celebrate, I'm going to drink some sour milk with a splash of chocolate milk in it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And finally, on the Kevin and Bean Afro line, it was only a matter of time before our favorite Halloween jam. And we're going to talk about new Halloween songs for this year coming up next. But Two Eyeballs, I think, is the runaway favorite. That's the hit of the year, right? And that's what this listener is calling to add on.
Adele was taking a shower. But from outside her window, she saw Bean's eyeballs, 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 eyeballs. Creepy.
How dare you? 323-520-AFRO. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. You know, he just created the Fantastic Four, among others. That's all Stan Lee did. And he joins us coming up just after the top of the hour here on K-Rock to talk all about the Kamikaze Expo. That's on the way. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. But first, speaking of Halloween music, Kevin, what has arrived today?
Well, we have some new songs to play, clips of new songs to play for you. The problem with these songs, honestly, is none of them can really sustain a whole song. Mm-hmm. Like, you could listen to 25 seconds of it and enjoy it. At the 30-second mark, you go, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
So,
But having said that, I'm very appreciative of our listeners who have taken the time to record songs and make songs and send songs in. And I think it really has been a lot of fun. And if for no other reason, we got two eyeballs out of it. This whole exercise was worth it just for two eyeballs.
I think that's the big winner. A listener sent in when he was 10 years old. He did a song called Two Eyeballs.
Two Eyeballs.
The quality of it.
I do too.
I love everything about that.
If Pharrell is listening right now, he's going, why can't I come up with songs that good?
Greenbrier Lane is back, and they did a song called Don't Look Behind That Door.
Don't look behind that door.
Very talented band, by the way.
I think that's pretty good advice, too. Don't look behind the door.
No, never. Yeah. Never.
Wicked Darling is next with a song called Halloween.
Bad times right when the moon is full. A witch is screaming zombies moan. Trick or treat is Halloween. Scare me now, it's Halloween.
All right, I like the vibe of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's got a good vibe.
Reminds me of the old Save Ferris.
Yeah, exactly. JB has done a song, JB, called Halloween.
Werewolves and black cats, goblins and ghouls, the boogeyman's on the loose, and he's coming for you. Very hairy, giant, crazy, freaky monsters, this is the night when all your fears come true. Creepy, wow. Crawly, gummy worm.
Not bad, right?
Yeah,
wow,
good.
That's really good.
Raymond and Scum is the name of the next one, and there had to be some heartbreak in one of these songs, and this is Dumped on Halloween.
She broke my heart, my spirit, and my spleen when she dumped me on Halloween, yeah.
I like the vibe of that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween's not a time to be sad. Come on, ladies, wait till November 1st to dump them.
Right, you can wait a day. Gouda sent in a song. Bean, why did we start calling him Gouda?
I don't remember where the nickname came from.
He's a guy that we worked with for a long time, and that's his nickname. I think we're the only ones to call him that. But he did a song called Pumpkin Genocide.
This house is really huge, just give this family a hand. We're sitting on the table, then my pumpkin friend said, why the hell do I have this giant knife in my head? So I turn and look, and sure enough, my friend has been stabbed. And the knife, it keeps on going deeper with every jab. Then when they finish scalping him, they got his insides. Where the hell am I? This is Pumpkin Genocide. Pumpkin Genocide.
See, Pumpkin Genocide.
Oh, that makes me sad.
They don't have feelings, Lisa.
Oh, maybe they do.
They don't, though. That's the thing. Here is Mild Fantasy Violence, and the song is called Happy Mother Trucking Halloween with a T.
Halloween,
Halloween. Happy mother trucking Halloween.
Dress up in an outfit, drink some booze, steal some candy, and maybe have some sex.
Halloween. Halloween. Happy mother trucking Halloween.
You know what I noticed with all these songs is that most people just start listing things that are associated with Halloween.
That's a good
yes.
point.
Putting on a costume, getting candy. It's like the B-52s. You know the clip that we keep playing from Yoko Ono, which is just murderous on your ears.
It's her primal screaming, right?
Is there a Halloween version?
There is, but I want you to wait for it.
All right, there's a remix.
How you gonna get better than that?
There's a remix that includes that, and I think rightly so,
with Halloween Spooks.
Honestly.
It doesn't make it better, I'll tell you that.
It doesn't make it worse, I'll tell you that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Stan Lee, after the top of the hour, Ralph is here for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, before we get into the beat, permit me just for 20 seconds to say, and I know you co-sign on this. Ugh. Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, came out as gay this morning.
So what?
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't it unbelievable? I mean, not unbelievable. It's great that we're at this point where it's practically a non-story. It's a mention. I mean, there would have been a time where the stock would have – the bottom would have fallen out of the stock if a CEO, oh, my God, was a homosexual. It's so fantastic.
Why is it got to be the bottom, Bean? I'm just sexist bastard.
I just want to say how proud I am of the advancements that we have made as people in this country. To people coming out, and I'm proud of him for making the statement, and I feel so good about that this morning to see that it really is just a non-story, because forget gay people are just like us. Gay people are us. We're all the same, and I'm happy about that this morning.
USA!
Thank you.
USA!
That's all.
USA!
That's sort of showbiz
USA!
Related.
USA!
Apple is a big deal, so there you
Why
go.
Why don't I just you marry to... him?
I just wanted to get that out there. So.
You
I'm
love
sorry.
Him so much.
Yeah, it's pretty
right,
cool.
Little Pee-wee?
Pretty cool that gay guys are running computers.
La, la, la.
I love that Pee-wee just showed up. That's awesome.
I got Pee-wee on the brain because Pee-wee was on The Tonight Show last night and announced that in a week we will be getting more details regarding the next Pee-wee Herman movie.
Yeah!
It's been too damn long since
no
Big Top
kidding.
Pee-wee.
How long has it been?
1988 was when Big Top wow. Pee-wee was released, the second Pee-wee film. And I loved that movie, by the way. It didn't get a lot of critical acclaim at the time and did not make as much money as Pee-wee's Big Adventure in 85. But I loved that film, and I'm looking forward to another one. He was on last night on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. Talking about it, and he was. It's weird because he comes out as Paul Reubens now and just talks about the character. It used
right.
to be he would never show up anywhere if it wasn't
it was
in character.
Pee Wee, right?
It's always in Pee Wee. And he mentioned the first time he did that when he realized the power of Pee Wee, he went for the first time after he created the character on the dating game, the game show. It was the first public appearance of Pee Wee Herman.
Really?
Yeah, he got down there on the dating game and stayed in character and said, this is who I am, and did the whole thing and talked to the bachelorettes and everything as
wow.
Pee-wee Herman, and actually won when he appeared. The girl
really?
Chose him. Yeah. So that's the power of Pee-wee.
Was it a terrible date?
They never went on the date, he said.
Oh.
She got married before they ever got on the date.
She was probably already engaged.
A lot of people would go on that show just for this exposure. It's
just
like,
to get on TV?
It's like The Bachelor or Bachelorette now, just to be on TV. So.
Yeah. Hey, they're looking for love, man.
Story. That's right.
Don't
besmirch
that show.
Journey.
Well, I will tell you that a lot of times it's a little sad when a character is brought back after 25 years, but he hasn't lost a step. I think it's going to be just as great as Pee-wee as it was in the day.
I saw the stage show down at the LA Live at Nokia when he remounted that in 2010, I guess. It was about 4 years ago he did it. And it was brilliant. And he looks exactly like he did when he was doing Pee Wee's Playhouse. We got a chance to meet backstage and chat a little bit, and he's just a sweet, sweet guy, and he's just as funny as ever. That character is forever, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love him so much!
And also, while recapping things, I think I need to start getting a little piece, a little taste of everybody who's getting found money now, thanks to me. First of all, our own Kevin Ryder is making well over $9 this morning, thanks to
well
me.
Well over $9.
Well over.
Yeah.
And listener Eddie writes in, I just checked the website, and I've got $398
what?
Coming to
wow.
me.
Wow. That's awesome.
So you're welcome, Eddie. Have a little taste. Have a little
a finder's fee.
Let
I think there's a finder's fee.
A little bit. Have the drummer some.
What is the website? Is it a difficult to
oh,
one to
yeah,
pass
it's
along?
Like it's dot gov or
okay.
CA
so do state of California bill. Unclaimed money or something?
Yeah,
maybe that's
go,
the
go state controller California unclaimed money, and it will send you to the proper website. And it's worth it because, you know, just type your name in and you find that you got a little cash coming your way.
www.voicesfromspirit.com.
No, I don't think it's.
/ capital V21, capital N5, no. / link.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's been a while.
She got thrilled.
Oh, it's been so long. Throwback.
Perfect time of year for it, too. It's it all ties
wow.
in.
It's been so long.
No one
long.
Saw that coming.
And speaking of the undead. Casey Kasem, still not buried.
What?
How is that possible?
What?
It's been over 4 months since he passed away.
Is he... How do you keep him for 4 months?
Refrigerated.
That's right, on ice. His body is lying in wait at a funeral home in Norway.
Is Don on the phone?
Don has hung up. Don hung up a long time ago, Casey.
About 4 months ago.
What's it waiting for?
Well, yeah, there's a battle, Lisa, amongst his family over the details.
What the hell's going on here?
Well, let me tell you,
great
Casey.
Question.
Casey's daughter, Carrie, claims she has been actively gaining signatures on a petition.
Oh.
Which has convinced the funeral home to hold off on burying her father while she fights to have her father's final wishes obeyed.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Gene Kasem, however, wants things done her way. And it's speculated that the burial won't take place until the family and Gene Kasem come to terms over Casey's estate.
So that could be indefinite?
It could be indefinite.
What the hell?
It's just the saddest thing.
It really is.
Didn't this something similar to this happen with James Brown?
Yeah, remember his body kept being shifted around. And
right, he would show up at
it was his final tour. He would,
at one point,
he went
it
like
was
20
in a convenience
different
store.
Locations.
Remember, we actually called and talked to them. It was in a convenience store freezer at one point.
That's right. He was next to the Coors Light in the cooler.
That is unbelievable.
So
Ralph.
Casey's just hanging out in Norway, just waiting for. Waiting for the final rest.
Smells
can you
like
imagine?
Donkey ass.
No, he does what? Not smell
he
like
smells
donkey
like donkey
ass.
What that would be like that if well it were deserved. Your father that was in a European country and you had no access. And
be the worst.
No burial. It just must be heartbreaking for the family.
Ugh. Are we going to play an up-tempo song now after this story?
We need to, don't we?
Goddamn up-tempo songs after I do a dead DJ story.
And I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see
That's
this week.
Right. Is Don on the phone? Get Don on the phone.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Henry Winkler is 69 years old today. Kevin Pollak turns 57. Gavin Rossdale from Bush, 49 years old. Matthew Morrison, he's Mr. Schuster on Glee. He's 36 years old today. Janelle Parrish from Pretty Little Liars is 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is that time of year once again. Stan Lee's Kamikaze Weekend is happening at the Los Angeles Convention Center Friday through Sunday. Ralph, has anyone ever been as good at anything as Stan Lee is at making comic book characters?
No. He is the king.
Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, The Avengers, The Hulk, Iron Man, The X-Men. It just goes on and on and on, and we are always excited. It's an actual thrill to welcome Stan Lee back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Stan.
Hey, how are you? And thanks for that great introduction.
Of course, we are delighted to have you, Ralph. I know, especially for you, this Kamikaze is going to be one you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm a huge comic book fan, and I do enjoy the Comic Cons as well. And I'll tell you, Stan, Kamikaze has just blown up into this amazing pop culture event every year.
Every year it gets bigger and bigger, and pretty soon Los Angeles won't be big enough to hold it. But it's such fun to finally get there and meet all the fans, and they get so excited, and we have something for everybody. We have celebrities. We have people from radio, from television, from movies. We're introducing a lot of new things, and we have the Halloween spirit, and it's just going to be fun.
You have trick-or-treating for kids, I'm reading here?
Oh, it's for kids and for older people, every age, and it's our way of proving that pop culture rules the universe.
And you know, Stan, one of the great things I think is about your con is that for kids, I believe it's 12 and under are allowed in for free.
Well, we wouldn't charge a kid 12 and under, my gosh, of course.
And I think it's a great way to introduce the next generation of comic book fans to all the things that we love about comic books and pop culture.
I could not have said that better. I couldn't have said it as well. Thank you very much.
Stan, you talk about it being fun for the whole family, old and young. Do you ever encounter anyone older than you?
There is nobody older than me.
Stan Lee is going to be, if I have the math right, 92 in December. Is that right, Stan? How are you feeling?
Well, you make it sound older than it is. I feel pretty good. If I don't think about the age business, I'm just fine.
Well, and I bet the secret to your longevity and good health is that you are busy. You are involved in so many different things. I mean, you don't strike me – I mean, you're nowhere near retirement. You don't strike me as a guy who a week without doing anything.
Retirement, as you well know, is a dirty word, and I'm surprised you were able to say that on the radio.
The full cast of My Little Pony is going to be together on stage. There's going to be panels and screenings of everything from Game of Thrones to Teen Titans to Hollywood Babylon with our own Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith. You're going to be down there at Kamikaze as well, Ralph?
Yes, absolutely.
I love the way you said that. I could not have remembered it that well. Wow. You do the whole thing. I'll just sit back and listen. You're wonderful.
Land of the Lost reunion, Power Rangers, Megaforce panel, so much more. But listen, Stan, this was a huge week for Marvel. We want to get your take on the announcement a couple of days ago about the future of Marvel movies, about the next few movies that are coming out over
Isn't
the next 10
great?
Years.
They're going to have Doctor Strange. They're going to have the Black Panther. They're going to have others. Well, you know, they have to. There is such a great public demand for these characters now. And Marvel, they produce them so well because they do them for older people, for younger people. They're movies that the whole family can enjoy. And what they are really is fairy tales for grown-ups. That's the way I think of them, because they have everything that we loved when we were children, witches and giants and monsters and things like that. And what Marvel does is they take those concepts and they present them in such a way that not only children but intelligent adults can enjoy the stories and the little bits of philosophy underneath the story and the characterization. And I don't want to sound like I'm pitching for these things, but I think they're wonderful.
Well, Stan, I was thinking you have to be particularly proud of the fact that the Black Panther is getting his own film, because you really were on the forefront of bringing African-American superheroes to popular culture with the Falcon and Black Panther and Luke Cage. Really, that was something you were very eager to do back in the 70s.
Well, I thought it was something that needed to be done, and I'm so glad that these things have met with the public's approval, and now they're all going to be motion pictures on their own. I think that's great.
It is great. And the Kamikaze Expo at kamikazeexpo.com is where you want to go to buy tickets. You can get three-day passes. You can get one-day passes. As Ralph mentioned, kids 12 and under are going to be admitted free. And, Ralph, real quick, where's your Batman 66 panel?
Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon. We're doing a tribute to the Batman TV show of the 60s, because, of course, that show is coming out on DVD next week.
Hey, great.
And Adam West and Burt Ward and Julie Newmar, I think, are going to be at Kamikaze this weekend as well. They'll be there, so.
Anybody who isn't there is really missing a hell of a lot, because everybody's going to be there.
Yeah.
I hope there's
Stan,
room for me.
As always.
God bless you. We love you. We are in awe of you. And it's such a thrill to have you back on the Kevin Meacher. Have a great weekend, sir.
Oh, you are so nice. Thanks. The same to you. And it's always a pleasure talking to you. Excelsior.
And to you as well. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here at K-Rock. How can you not want to go to that when you heard Stan and talk about all the stuff that's going to be there? It's going to be a fantastic weekend. We got one pair of tickets left. If you want them, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, you win on K-Rock.
Brand new Foo Fighters on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That's called Something from Nothing.
I am a guy who gets sad about things before they happen, and good. I am already sad that there's only 6 episodes left of the Foo Fighters show. I already want it to go on forever. 8 episodes is not going to be enough for me.
Okay.
So you've seen 2.
Right, and it's great, and I love it.
And you have 6 more yet to see and enjoy.
So you're That's relatively right. at the beginning of the process.
But you're sad right. about that.
I'm already sad that it's going to end after 8, yes. I'm, right. Look, I'm already sad about Willie Nelson dying. And he, who knows, he could have 20 years left. We don't know. But I'm already pre-sad for that. That's how I roll.
There's only one solution for you.
That's a terrible way to live.
The final solution.
And it's the final solution.
That's a terrible way to live.
Look, what can I do about it,
You're going to be sad when your hero dies, if it's Willie Nelson.
Right.
Oh, you can't do that. That's stupid.
You'll be sad then.
You're not allowed.
I'm sad now, though. I'm already sad about imagining a world without Willie Nelson.
Not allowed to be sad.
And I'm already
I'm the death judge.
Right. Thank you, Dave. And I'm already sad about the Foo Fighters show not going on forever.
All right. Well, I can't help you with that.
All right.
I'm sad about the Newsroom is coming back for its final season. That's bumming me out.
That's not even back on the air yet.
Right, but it's going to be soon, and then it's going to be over. It's already bumming me out that there's only one season left. That's already been announced. It's gone. It's practically gone. Why bother watching?
I'm with Ralph. There's only one suggestion here.
Solution.
Thank you.
You're not with me at all.
I'm not, apparently.
All right. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday
night. That was Bean's Sadness Update.
Things Bean is sad about.
We should check in every week and get Bean's sad update. Let's see what
I do have a long, ever-growing list.
Why is Bean sad? Write that down.
You know who's not sad? Everyone this morning who's making money because of me. You're welcome.
Yay!
My Twitter feed's blowing up. My inbox is blowing up. Chris Davey, listener Christian Davey, writes, and thank you. Turns out, after going to the state controller website, the asshats at Starbucks owe me $400.
Wow.
From over 60 years ago when I slaved for them in college. So thank you for informing me about it.
You're the man, Rob.
I'm
handing
it
out
rain.
Money.
I'm making it rain for people. What do I get out of it?
There doesn't seem to be any kind of finder's fee, I'll tell you that.
But people are very appreciative, so I guess that's something. That's nice.
It's not a finder's fee.
No, but it's love, man.
All right.
And love's what makes the world go round.
Okay. The picture that you just tweeted of you.
Me and Pee-wee backstage.
It's pretty strong.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty strong.
It was one of the highlights of my life. You know what a huge fan I am of him. And the reason I tweeted up for Throwback Thursday is because we were talking about, he was on the Jimmy Fallon show last night. He was on the Tonight Show talking about that later this week, he expects there to be, finally he'll be able to give all the details about the upcoming long-awaited third Pee-wee Herman movie. And very excited. Judd Apatow will be producing.
Wow.
They've got a director, but he hasn't announced yet who it is. They've hired him, but they can't exactly say who it is just yet. The script was written by Paul and comedian Paul Rust, whose writing credits also include Arrested Development and Comedy Bang Bang.
Wow.
So it's a great pedigree of everyone involved.
Somebody writes Comedy Bang Bang?
Including Paul himself. Paul Rubens is back, and I, for one, could not be more excited. So I was mentioning, I saw the show live down at Nokia a couple years ago and had a chance to hang backstage with Paul a little bit and talk with him. Just what a great guy he is, and I am looking forward to this very much.
But maybe stay off the blacklist.
Stop it! I loved him on the blacklist.
Yeah.
I love the blacklist. And you're not welcome, Bean.
Get out of our blacklist.
Get out. You stay out of our blacklist.
It's been so good lately. Oh, so good. So good. What did Lizzie got? What's Lizzie got in the back room? Ho-ho! Boom! That's what she's got.
That's right.
She's got boom.
No, that's right. You're not even welcome in this conversation. Get out.
Well,
Get out.
You leave our show alone.
That's right. Get out.
I don't want you.
Hey, I was just impressed that on last week's show, for the first time since I can remember, she actually had backup when she went into a building. And I thought that was impressive. That was a step in the right direction.
Your comments are no longer welcome. Did we not make that clear?
I'm already happy that you're dead. You know, like you're already sad that Willie Nelson is going to die? I'm getting joy.
Now, all right, you got pre-happy going
I'm
to my pre-sad.
Why is Ralph happy?
Because someday Bean won't be peeing all over the blacklist.
It's one of my favorite shows, too.
You know who needs to get buried? Casey Kasem.
Why isn't Casey Kasem buried?
Do we need to have reverb on everything now?
Yes!
Do it.
This is sad news. Casey Kasem, longtime broadcasting legend. It's now been
four
months since his death. He is still not yet buried. He has been lying in wait in a funeral home in Norway while his family battles over the details.
He's down on the phone.
She get on the phone and say, bury Casey Kasem.
So there's a building someplace in this world where you could walk through and find a frozen dead Casey Kasem.
Yes.
That is a thing that exists.
And it's not Bean's house. It's
wow.
Much to our
sadly.
Shock.
It's not like I didn't offer.
I know. Kerry Kasem, his daughter, is apparently trying to honor her father's final wishes. Jean Kasem wants him buried in her, under her terms, and there's also dad's finances to be battled over. So no word yet on when, if ever, this will ever be resolved.
Would you believe that story?
No.
I do believe that story.
I would not. 4 months.
And it may be time for us to open up the phones again for another topic of legendary neighbor battles. Fights you've had with your neighbors? Because this one is pretty strong. In Malibu, California, David Charvet. If you're familiar with Dave Charvet, he played Matt on Baywatch. Good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Was one of the Baywatch hunks for many seasons.
No, but continue.
He lives next door to Mike Fleiss, the creator of The Bachelor. Charvet has filed for a restraining order against Mike Fleiss for allegedly pointing speakers at his house. And between the hours of 9:30 at night and 11 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Playing tracks of barking, crying, and howling dogs.
Well, that sounds like you're just asking to be arrested for disturbing the peace.
The judge denied the request. No word on what the next step is for this neighbor battle that's been going on, but apparently they are just going at it.
That's rampant a-holery right there. That's awesome.
Apparently, Mike Fleiss doesn't like the sound of David Charvet's dogs, and so he is playing sounds, pre-recorded sounds of other dogs back at him, and it's just a big battle royal.
I think dogs has got to be close to the top of the list of neighbor fight material,
I
right?
I bet.
Can you imagine living in Malibu and having a house on either side of either of those guys?
No.
With dogs coming from both?
Remember my chanter? Remember the chanter I lived next door?
Right.
The chanter?
That's right.
All the hours, all day and night didn't matter. Windows open, just chanting, Buddha chanting, and gongs and bells made me nuts.
You loved it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Henry Winkler, the Fonz, 69 years old today. Kevin Pollak, super talented actor, comedian, impressionist, 57 years old today. Gavin Rosdale of Bush turns 49. Matthew Morrison from Glee is 36. And Janelle Parrish. Pretty Little Liars fame. It's 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, RJ Bell will join us with his week 9 NFL picks. I believe he was 3-0 last week.
I think so.
That's amazing. Nuts. His record is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I believe Kevin mocked him on air for picking the Redskins over the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you know what? I learned my lesson the week before.
Yeah.
Not to mock?
Yeah, I said I would mock you on that one, except for the week before you made a ridiculous pick, which was the Raiders. No, it was the San Diego Chargers Raiders. Game?
Yes, that's exactly
in
what.
Oakland.
That's right.
And I mocked him, and he was right. So I take my place.
He knows what he's talking about.
He knows
that's
what he's
for
talking
sure.
about. Trick or treating in nicer neighborhoods. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, as we normally do. We have a lot of Halloween music. We have Sean Nook, who has come up with Count Chocula beer.
Yum.
Was that a question?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
And we're going to talk to him about that?
We're going to talk to him about that. He has sent some, Ralph, so you're welcome to try it with me.
I'm all good. I'm good over here. Thanks.
I mean, just to taste it.
I'm good, thanks.
Just to have a little sip.
I'm fine.
See what they're doing.
I'm looking forward to the interview.
And the voice of random NBA team, Ralph Lawler.
Well, Clippers.
I believe he's the voice
of
the Clippers.
Clippers is his team.
Yeah. Right. They're the good team in town, Kevin. You're just going to have to get used to it. They're the team that hasn't started 0-2.
He will be here tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Beach Show.